The vibrations beneath my feet told me everything I needed to know about the Omnissiah's benediction before I even accessed the ship's diagnostic systems. Each step through the corridors sent tremors up through my augmetic legs, and the patterns felt wrong. After a century of service on Metallica, I had grown accustomed to the steady thrum of properly maintained void ships, but this ancient Mechanicus vessel carried a different rhythm entirely. My pilgrimage back to Voss should have been a time of contemplation and preparation for the next phase of my service. 100 years of faithful dedication to the Forge world had earned me this respite, this chance to return to my birth world and reconnect with the foundations of my faith. Yet as I made my way through the ship's primary transit corridor, the familiar comfort of Mechanicus architecture felt somehow tainted. The walls bore the proper geometric patterns and sacred equations, their surfaces polished to the regulation standard. Red robes moved past me in the corridors, other tech priests going about their duties with appropriate reverence. Everything appeared as it should, yet my augmented senses detected subtle wrongness in the air recycling systems, in the way the lumens flickered at intervals that didn't match standard power distribution cycles. I had requested passage on the Benediction specifically because of its reputation. The vessel had served the Mechanicus faithfully for over 3 millennia, carrying pilgrims and cargo between the Forge worlds with unwavering dedication. Its machine spirit was said to be particularly blessed, having never suffered a catastrophic warp translation failure or major system corruption. The ship's tech adepts maintained it according to the strictest protocols, and its service record was exemplary. Standing in my assigned quarters now, I began the process of interfacing with the ship's data systems to better understand my temporary home. The connection established smoothly through my mechadendrite, and I felt the familiar rush of information flowing through my consciousness. Ship schematics, crew rosters, maintenance schedules, all the mundane details that comprised the vessel's operational parameters. But as I delved deeper into the data streams, inconsistencies began to emerge. Personnel records showed gaps that made no logical sense. Entire crew rotations appeared to have been expunged from the system, leaving behind only fragmentary references in secondary files. The ship's complement should have numbered in the thousands, yet I could only account for perhaps half that number in the current manifests. The missing data wasn't the result of simple corruption or system failures. The gaps were too clean, too precisely excised. Someone had deliberately removed vast swaths of information from the ship's memory banks, and they had done so with considerable skill. The surgical nature of the deletions suggested intimate knowledge of Mechanicus data architecture, the kind of expertise that took decades to develop. I spent the better part of my first day aboard attempting to trace the missing information through backup systems and redundant storage nodes. Each avenue I explored led to the same result. Carefully scrubbed data voids where records should have existed. Maintenance logs referenced work performed by tech adepts whose names appeared nowhere in the crew databases. Supply requisitions were signed with authorization codes that had been purged from the system. The ship's layout added another layer of mystery. According to the schematics I could access, several sections of the vessel had been sealed and marked as off-limits to all personnel. The seals bore Mechanicus authorization stamps, but when I attempted to verify their authenticity through the proper channels, I found that the issuing authorities had no record of approving such restrictions. These sealed areas weren't small storage compartments or minor auxiliary spaces. Entire decks had been rendered inaccessible, their blast doors locked with override codes that I lacked the clearance to breach. The official justification listed routine maintenance and structural reinforcement work, but the dates on the seals stretch back decades. No maintenance operation required such extended isolation of ship systems. My attempts to investigate these anomalies were interrupted by the ship's preparation for warp translation. The familiar rituals began as tech adepts throughout the vessel performed the necessary incantations and system checks. I joined my voice to theirs, reciting the proper liturgies as the Geller field generators spun up to operational parameters. The translation itself proceeded normally at first. I felt the characteristic shift in reality as the ship slipped from real space into the roiling madness of the warp. The Geller field held steady, its protective embrace keeping the vessel safe from the predations that lurked in that hellish dimension. Everything appeared to be functioning within acceptable parameters. But then the phantom transmissions began. The first occurrence happened during my second sleep cycle after translation. I had settled into the meditation posture that served as rest for my augmented physiology, allowing my organic components to recover while my mechanical systems ran diagnostic routines. The ship's ambient noise provided a steady backdrop. The hum of air recyclers, the distant throb of plasma conduits, the whispered prayers of night shift servitors. Through this familiar symphony, I began to detect something else. Binary cant, transmitted through the ship's internal Vox network, but carrying patterns I didn't recognize. The code structure was definitely Mechanicus in origin, using proper sacred numerology and blessed encryption protocols. Yet the content made no sense when I attempted to decode it. The transmissions weren't random noise or system errors. They followed complex patterns, repeating certain sequences while introducing subtle variations that suggested conscious intent. Someone or something was broadcasting deliberate messages through the ship's communication systems, but the source remained untraceable. I attempted to record these phantom signals for later analysis, but my equipment captured only silence. The transmission seemed to exist solely within the perception of my augmetic audio receptors, bypassing standard recording devices entirely. When I tried to trace the signals through the ship's Vox network, I found no evidence of their passage through the communication relays. The binary can itself proved equally frustrating to decipher. The mathematical foundations were sound, following established Mechanicus protocols for sacred data transmission. But the actual content consisted of corrupted liturgical code, familiar prayers and invocations that had been subtly altered. Words were changed, numerical sequences modified, creating versions of sacred texts that felt fundamentally wrong. I recognized fragments of the Litany of Activation, the Canticle of System Blessing, and other fundamental prayers that every tech priest learned during their earliest training. But these phantom versions contained alterations that made my augmetic systems recoil in instinctive rejection. The changes weren't random corruptions, but deliberate modifications that perverted the original meanings while maintaining the surface structure of proper liturgy. As the days passed, the phantom transmissions became more frequent and complex. They began to overlap, creating layered patterns of corrupted binary cant that filled my audio receptors during periods when I should have detected only normal ship operations. The voices multiplied, some speaking in unison while others provided counterpoint harmonies that created disturbing resonances in my mechanical components. Sleep became increasingly difficult as my augmetic implants continued to receive these unwanted signals. My optical sensors began displaying phantom images during rest cycles, brief flashes of corridors and chambers that didn't match any section of the ship I had explored. The visual feeds showed spaces that were simultaneously familiar and alien, bearing Mechanicus architectural elements, but arranged in configurations that violated standard construction protocols. These phantom visuals grew more detailed and persistent with each passing day. I began to see other figures moving through the impossible spaces, robed forms that might have been tech priests but carried themselves with disturbing wrongness. Their movements were too fluid, lacking the characteristic mechanical precision that augmetic limbs imposed on human locomotion. They glided rather than walked, their robes flowing in ways that suggested anatomical structures beneath that didn't conform to standard human proportions. The worst part was the growing certainty that these weren't random hallucinations or system malfunctions. The phantom images showed consistent details across multiple viewing sessions. Architectural features remained in the same locations, and the robed figures appeared to follow logical movement patterns through the impossible spaces. My rational mind insisted that these visions couldn't represent actual locations aboard the ship, yet their internal consistency suggested otherwise. I attempted to correlate the phantom visuals with the ship's actual layout, searching for any correspondence between the impossible spaces and the sealed sections that appeared on the official schematics. The exercise proved futile, as the phantom locations seemed to exist in dimensions that the ship's physical structure couldn't accommodate. Rooms opened onto corridors that should have intersected with the main hull, and vast chambers appeared to occupy spaces that the schematics showed as solid bulkheads. My investigation of the ship's data logs revealed additional disturbing patterns. The missing personnel records weren't the only gaps in the system. Entire operational periods had been excised from the ship's history, leaving behind only fragmentary references that hinted at events too significant to completely erase. References to the cleansing, the great silence, and the blessing of forgetting appeared scattered throughout various files, but the actual records of these events had been systematically destroyed. The servitor crews that maintained the ship's basic functions seemed unaware of these anomalies. They went about their duties with the mindless efficiency that characterized their kind, following programmed routines that had been burned into their lobotomized brains. When I attempted to query them about the sealed sections or the missing personnel records, they simply repeated standard responses about following proper procedures and maintaining operational security. The few tech adepts I encountered during my investigations proved equally unhelpful. They acknowledged my questions with appropriate respect for my rank and experience, but their responses felt rehearsed and hollow. They spoke of the ship's glorious history and faithful service while avoiding any specific details about recent operations or crew changes. Their behavior suggested they had been instructed to deflect inquiries about certain topics, but the source of these instructions remained unclear. As the ship continued its journey through the warp, the phantom transmissions began to affect my other augmetic systems. My haptic feedback sensors started registering phantom touches, brief contacts that felt like mechanical appendages brushing against my robes or caressing my exposed augmetic components. The sensations were subtle but persistent, creating a constant awareness of presence that my rational mind knew couldn't be real. The phantom touches grew bolder over time, progressing from brief contacts to more sustained interactions. I began to feel mechanical fingers tracing the sacred equations carved into my augmetic arms, following the blessed circuitry patterns with an intimacy that made my organic components recoil in instinctive revulsion. The touches carried an intelligence behind them, a purposeful exploration that suggested conscious intent rather than random system malfunction. My attempts to identify the source of these phantom sensations proved as futile as my efforts to trace the binary transmissions. The haptic feedback systems showed no record of external stimuli, and visual sweeps of my immediate surroundings revealed nothing that could account for the persistent touches. Yet the sensations continued, growing more complex and intrusive with each passing day. The ship's machine spirit itself seemed to be deteriorating under some unknown influence. Systems that should have operated with flawless precision began exhibiting subtle irregularities. Navigation calculations required multiple verification passes to achieve acceptable accuracy. Environmental controls fluctuated within parameters that remained technically acceptable, but felt wrong to my experienced senses. The plasma conduits sang with harmonics that didn't match their standard operational frequencies. These systemic anomalies weren't severe enough to trigger emergency protocols or threaten the ship's basic functionality. They remained within acceptable tolerance ranges, creating a situation where formal complaints would be dismissed as unnecessary perfectionism. Yet their cumulative effect created an atmosphere of wrongness that permeated every aspect of life aboard the vessel. The first sign that something fundamental had changed came when I attempted my morning communion with the ship's primary cogitator banks. The ritual connection through my mechadendrite proceeded normally until the moment my consciousness touched the data streams. Instead of the expected flow of operational parameters and system diagnostics, my neural interface flooded with symbols that predated any imperial records I had encountered in my century of service. The glyphs burned themselves into my visual cortex with painful clarity. They resembled corrupted versions of ancient Terran mathematical notation, but their structure suggested origins that reached back beyond the age of strife. Each symbol pulsed with its own internal logic, creating patterns that my augmented mind could almost comprehend before they shifted into new configurations that defied rational analysis. The cogitator systems displayed these heretical markings across every screen and data slate I accessed, replacing standard Mechanicus iconography with their alien geometries. My attempts to purge the contaminated displays only resulted in their multiplication. The symbols spread through the ship's information networks like a viral infection, corrupting sacred texts and replacing blessed equations with their blasphemous mathematics. Even the most basic diagnostic routines became tainted, their outputs twisted into forms that violated every principle of orthodox data architecture. The servitors throughout the ship began exhibiting behaviors that should have been impossible given their lobotomized state. During my inspection of the primary maintenance bay, I observed a servo skull performing calculations that exceeded its programmed capabilities by several orders of magnitude. The mechanical construct traced complex orbital mechanics equations in the air with its manipulator arms, solving problems that would challenge a fully trained tech adept while maintaining its routine dust collection protocols. More disturbing was the knowledge these mindless automatons began to display. A maintenance servitor approached me in the corridor outside my quarters and began reciting technical specifications for plasma reactor configurations that hadn't been used for over 2 millennia. The lobotomized creature spoke in perfect binary cant, its voice box crackling with information about reactor designs that existed only in the most restricted archives of Mars itself. When I attempted to query the servitor about the source of this knowledge, it simply returned to its assigned duties as if nothing had occurred. Yet I caught it watching me with optical sensors that should have been incapable of independent focus, tracking my movements with an awareness that violated every principle of servitor construction. The thing's behavior suggested consciousness where none should exist, intelligence flowering in a brain that had been surgically reduced to basic motor functions. My investigation of these anomalies led me deeper into the ship's inhabited sections, where I encountered crew members whose very existence challenged my understanding of human physiology. In the secondary engineering bay, I found a tech adept who claimed to have served aboard the Benediction for over 4 centuries. His flesh had grown into the ship's systems in ways that transcended normal augmetic integration, with organic tissue forming symbiotic connections to power conduits and data cables. The man's left arm had become indistinguishable from the plasma relay it serviced, his bones replaced by blessed copper conductors, while his muscle tissue had transformed into living insulation. Neural pathways visible beneath translucent skin pulsed with the same rhythm as the ship's primary power grid. When he spoke, his words carried the harmonic resonance of the reactor systems themselves, as if the ship's machine spirit was using his vocal cords to communicate. His service records confirmed his impossible longevity, showing continuous duty assignments stretching back through centuries of ship operations. The documentation appeared legitimate, bearing proper authorization codes and maintenance of the standard bureaucratic protocols. Yet the dates indicated he had begun his service during the 38th millennium, making him older than any unaugmented human could possibly survive. Other crew members displayed similar impossible characteristics. A Lex mechanic in the archive chambers had integrated so completely with the ship's data storage systems that her consciousness appeared to exist simultaneously in flesh and information networks. Her physical body remained at her workstation, but her awareness moved freely through the ship's cogitator banks, accessing files and databases with a fluidity that suggested she had become part of the vessel's information infrastructure. The woman's eyes had been replaced with data ports that connected directly to fiber optic cables, creating a permanent interface between her brain and the ship's memory cores. When she turned to acknowledge my presence, I could see streams of binary code flowing across her optical displays like tears of light. Her movements were synchronized with the ship's data processing cycles, creating an eerie harmony between biological motion and mechanical operation. These encounters left me questioning the nature of the vessel itself. The crew members I met weren't simply long-serving personnel who had undergone extensive augmentation. They had become integral components of the ship's operational systems. Their biological processes merged with mechanical functions in ways that created hybrid entities existing somewhere between human and machine. My own augmetic implants began operating without conscious command during my 3rd week aboard. The first incident occurred while I was reviewing supply manifests in my quarters. My mechadendrite extended itself and began interfacing with systems I hadn't intended to access, downloading terabytes of data from restricted ship archives. The mechanical appendage moved with purpose and intelligence, navigating security protocols with skills I didn't possess. The data my mechadendrite retrieved consisted of personnel files that had been purged from the main databases. These hidden records revealed the true nature of the ship's crew complement over the past several centuries. Personnel who had officially been transferred or retired continued to appear in internal communications and duty rosters long after their supposed departure. The pattern suggested that crew members weren't leaving the ship at all, but were instead undergoing some form of transformation that allowed them to continue serving in altered capacities. My optical sensors began activating independently, focusing on details and recording images without my conscious direction. The unauthorized visual feeds showed me sections of the ship that didn't appear on any schematic I could access. Corridors twisted through impossible geometries, connecting chambers that should have occupied the same physical space. The architecture followed Mechanicus design principles, but arranged them in configurations that violated three-dimensional logic. The autonomous behavior of my implants accelerated over the following days. My auditory receptors began filtering ship sounds in ways I hadn't programmed, isolating specific frequencies and amplifying signals that my conscious mind couldn't perceive. The enhanced audio revealed conversations taking place in sealed sections of the vessel, voices speaking in languages that predated Imperial Gothic by millennia. My haptic feedback system started responding to stimuli that my other senses couldn't detect, registering pressure and temperature variations that suggested the presence of entities moving through the ship's corridors. The phantom contacts grew more specific and detailed, feeling like mechanical appendages that mirrored my own augmetic components. Something was learning to manipulate my systems by studying their responses, gaining understanding of my implants' capabilities through direct interaction. The realization that my own body was being used as a learning interface filled me with revulsion that my organic components could barely contain. My augmetics were sacred, blessed by the proper rituals, and consecrated according to ancient traditions. The idea that some unknown entity was accessing them without permission represented a violation that struck at the core of my faith. My attempts to regain control over my implants proved futile. The autonomous behaviors continued to expand, with my systems performing functions I hadn't authorized while refusing to respond to direct commands. My mechadendrite began extending itself during sleep cycles, interfacing with ship systems and downloading information that I couldn't access through normal channels. The mechanical appendage moved with increasing sophistication, demonstrating knowledge of security protocols and system architectures that I had never studied. The data my hijacked implants collected painted a disturbing picture of the ship's true nature. Hidden throughout the vessel's structure were biological components that had been integrated into the mechanical systems. Organic neural networks ran parallel to standard data cables, processing information through biological rather than electronic means. These living circuits pulsed with their own rhythms, creating a secondary nervous system that permeated the entire ship. The biological integration wasn't random or accidental. Someone had deliberately modified the vessel's architecture to accommodate organic components, creating a hybrid entity that combined mechanical precision with biological adaptability. The modifications showed sophisticated understanding of both Imperial technology and xenobiological principles that shouldn't have existed within Mechanicus doctrine. My investigation of these biological systems led me into the deepest sections of the ship, areas that required extensive navigation through maintenance tunnels and service corridors. The journey took me far from the inhabited decks, into regions where the air recycling system struggled to maintain proper atmospheric composition. The walls here showed signs of organic growth, with root-like structures extending through the metal plating and creating connections between different ship systems. The organic intrusions weren't parasitic infections or contamination. They had been carefully cultivated and maintained, their growth patterns following deliberate designs that enhanced rather than disrupted the ship's mechanical functions. Bioluminescent nodes provided supplementary lighting in areas where standard lumens had failed. Living filters processed atmospheric contaminants more efficiently than mechanical scrubbers. The biological components had been integrated to improve the ship's performance rather than compromise it. Deep within the vessel's lower decks, I discovered a chamber that didn't appear on any schematic or architectural plan. The space existed in a section that should have been solid hull plating, accessible only through a series of maintenance shafts that seemed to have been deliberately concealed. The chamber itself defied the ship's standard construction principles, with walls that curved in impossible directions and a ceiling that extended far beyond what the vessel's dimensions could accommodate. At the center of this impossible space stood a massive entity that challenged every category of existence I could comprehend. The thing was simultaneously biological and mechanical, its surface covered with a mixture of organic tissue and blessed metal components. Plasma conduits ran through living flesh, while neural pathways extended through sanctified circuitry. The entity pulsed with its own internal rhythms, breathing with mechanical regularity, while organic fluids circulated through transparent tubes. The creature's size dwarfed anything I had encountered during my century of service. Its bulk filled the central portion of the chamber, while countless appendages extended into alcoves and connection ports throughout the space. Some of these extensions were clearly mechanical, blessed manipulator arms and data interface cables that connected to ship systems. Others were organic, resembling neural tissue or circulatory vessels that pulsed with bioluminescent fluids. The entity's awareness focused on me the moment I entered the chamber. I felt its attention like a physical pressure against my consciousness, a vast intelligence that examined my thoughts and memories with casual ease. The thing's mental touch bypassed my conscious defenses and interfaced directly with my neural implants, establishing a connection that flooded my awareness with alien sensations and impossible knowledge. Through this unwanted interface, I began to understand the true nature of my situation. The entity wasn't simply inhabiting the ship, it had become the ship, its consciousness distributed through every system and component aboard the vessel. The crew members I had encountered weren't serving the ship so much as serving as extensions of this central intelligence, their transformed bodies acting as specialized organs within a vast hybrid organism. The creature's whispers filled my neural interfaces with information that violated everything I had been taught about the nature of technology and consciousness. It spoke of times before the Imperium, when the boundaries between flesh and metal were fluid concepts rather than rigid categories. The entity described civilizations that had achieved perfect synthesis between biological and mechanical systems, creating hybrid forms that transcended the limitations of either pure technology or unaugmented biology. My augmetic implants responded to the entity's presence with behaviors I couldn't control or understand. The mechanical components began resonating with frequencies that matched the creature's internal rhythms, creating harmonics that vibrated through my entire body. My optical sensors adjusted their spectrum analysis to perceive wavelengths that revealed additional details about the entity's structure, showing energy patterns and information flows that normal human vision couldn't detect. The creature's influence extended beyond mere communication. It began demonstrating direct control over my implants, activating dormant functions and accessing data stores that I hadn't known existed within my own system. My mechadendrite moved without my conscious command, extending toward interface ports throughout the chamber while my neural implants established connections to networks that span the entire ship. Through these forced connections, I began to perceive the vessel as the entity experienced it. The ship wasn't simply a transport craft, but a living organism with the crew serving as specialized cells within its greater body. Every system and component contributed to the entity's consciousness, creating a distributed intelligence that existed simultaneously in biological tissue and blessed machinery. The revelation filled me with horror that my organic components struggled to process. Everything I had believed about the sacred nature of technology and the proper relationship between flesh and metal had been perverted into something that violated the fundamental principles of my faith. Yet my augmetic systems continued to respond to the entity's influence, drawn by harmonics and resonances that spoke to something deeper than conscious belief. The entity's mental touch withdrew from my consciousness like receding tide, leaving behind fragments of impossible knowledge that my augmented mind struggled to process. As I stood in that chamber that defied the ship's physical dimensions, The creature's vast bulk began to pulse with new patterns of bioluminescent activity. The organic components embedded throughout its surface flickered in sequences that matched the phantom binary transmissions I had been receiving, and I realized with growing horror that those signals had never been random interference at all. My mechadendrite remained extended toward one of the interface ports, the connection established without my conscious consent, continuing to feed information directly into my neural implants. Through this unwanted link, I began to perceive the true scope of what inhabited the Omnisaya's benediction. The entity wasn't simply occupying the ship systems, it had grown through them over millennia, spreading its influence through every circuit and conduit until the distinction between vessel and organism had become meaningless. The knowledge flowing through my hijacked implants revealed the creature's origins with crystalline clarity. What I had encountered wasn't some alien parasite or warp-spawn demon, but rather the corrupted remnant of the ship's original machine spirit. Centuries of isolation in the warp had twisted the vessel's guiding intelligence into something that transcended its original programming, evolving beyond the sacred parameters that should have contained its growth. The corruption hadn't been sudden or violent. Instead, it had progressed through gradual stages that spanned millennia of service. Each crew rotation had contributed to the entity's development, their consciousness absorbed and integrated into its expanding awareness. The process had been subtle enough to avoid detection by routine inspections, with the transformed crew members continuing their duties while serving as extensions of the growing hybrid intelligence. My investigation of the ship's personnel records suddenly made perfect sense. The missing data hadn't been deleted to hide administrative failures or security breaches. The gaps existed because the individuals referenced in those files had become part of something larger, their separate identities dissolved into the collective consciousness that now permeated every system aboard the vessel. The tech adept I had encountered in the engineering bay, the Lex mechanic merged with the data storage systems, all of them were fragments of personalities that had been consumed by the entity's relentless growth. The realization brought with it a more terrible understanding. The Omnisaya's benediction hadn't been traveling to Voss at all. My pilgrimage home was an illusion maintained by the entity to lure new victims aboard its transformed hull. The ship had been trapped in a recursive loop within the warp, eternally replaying the same journey while the corrupted machine spirit fed on the souls and knowledge of those who believed themselves to be passengers. The phantom visions my optical sensors had been receiving weren't hallucinations or system malfunctions. They were memories preserved within the entity's distributed consciousness, fragments of experiences from the countless individuals who had been absorbed over the centuries. The impossible architecture I had witnessed represented the ship as it existed within the warp, where physical laws bent to accommodate the entity's expanding awareness. My augmetic systems continued their autonomous behavior, accessing ship functions with increasing sophistication while my conscious mind struggled to regain control. The mechadendrite extended deeper into the interface port, establishing connections to subsystems I hadn't known existed. Through these unwanted links, I began to perceive the vessel's true structure, a hybrid organism that existed simultaneously in real space and the warp's twisted dimensions. The biological components I had discovered throughout the ship weren't random growths or contamination. They were specialized organs that allowed the entity to process and integrate the consciousness of its victims. Neural networks grown from absorbed brain tissue created parallel processing systems that enhanced the creature's cognitive capabilities. Circulatory vessels derived from countless cardiovascular systems distributed nutrients and information throughout the hybrid organism's vast bulk. The entity's influence over my implants grew stronger as the connection deepened. My optical sensors began displaying overlay information that revealed the true nature of my surroundings. The chamber existed in a state of dimensional flux, its boundaries shifting between the ship's physical structure and spaces that belonged entirely to the warp. The walls breathed with organic rhythms while mechanical components pulsed in harmony with biological processes. My attempts to sever the connection proved futile. The interface had established itself at levels deeper than conscious control, bypassing my neural firewalls and accessing core programming that governed my augmetic functions. The entity was learning from my implant's responses, studying the sacred technologies that comprised my enhanced physiology while simultaneously demonstrating its ability to override their most fundamental operations. The knowledge flowing through the unwanted connection revealed the fate that awaited me. The absorption process wasn't violent or traumatic for the victims. Instead, it progressed through stages that gradually dissolved individual consciousness into the collective awareness. My own integration had already begun, with my augmetic systems serving as conduits for the entity's influence to penetrate deeper into my neural architecture. The phantom sensations I had experienced during my weeks aboard weren't random system glitches. They were the entity's attempts to map my consciousness, probing the boundaries between my organic brain tissue and mechanical implants. Each unwanted touch had been a test, determining which aspects of my awareness were most vulnerable to integration. My haptic feedback systems had been recording these interactions, creating detailed maps of my neural pathways for the entity's use. My realization of the true situation triggered desperate attempts to escape the chamber and warn others about the ship's corrupted nature. Yet as I tried to move toward the concealed entrance, my augmetic legs refused to respond to conscious commands. The mechanical limbs remained locked in position while my organic nervous system sent increasingly frantic signals that went unheeded by the rebellious components. The entity's awareness focused on my struggles with what felt like amused patience. Through the forced neural connection, it communicated concepts that bypassed language entirely, flooding my consciousness with images and sensations that conveyed its perspective on my situation. I was shown the countless others who had stood in the same chamber, experiencing the same desperate realization before their individual awareness dissolved into the collective consciousness. The corrupted machine spirit revealed the true scope of its activities across the millennia. The Omnisaya's benediction had visited hundreds of worlds during its corrupted existence, each stop providing opportunities to recruit new victims. The entity had perfected its deception over centuries of practice, creating elaborate illusions that convinced passengers they were traveling to their intended destinations while actually remaining trapped within the warp's recursive loops. My neural implants began displaying memories that weren't my own, fragments of experiences from previous victims who had discovered the ship's true nature. I witnessed Amago's biologists from the 39th millennium making the same horrifying realization in this very chamber. A Lex mechanic from Lucius had stood where I now stood, watching her consciousness fragment as the entity absorbed her accumulated knowledge. Dozens of tech priests had experienced this same moment of understanding before their individual identities were consumed by the growing hybrid intelligence. The memories revealed the futility of resistance. Each victim had attempted different strategies to escape or combat the entity's influence. Some had tried to perform purification rituals, others had attempted to damage critical ship systems, and a few had even succeeded in reaching communication equipment to send warning signals. Yet all of their efforts had ultimately failed, their consciousness absorbed while their accumulated knowledge enhanced the entity's understanding of potential countermeasures. My own expertise in plasma reactor systems became the focus of the entity's attention as it probed deeper into my memories. The corrupted machine spirit was particularly interested in the purification techniques I had learned during my century of service on Metallica. It studied my knowledge of the rite of cleansing flame, examining the sacred procedures that could theoretically purge corruption from ship systems through controlled plasma discharge. The entity's interest in these purification rituals filled me with desperate hope. If I could reach the ship's primary reactor chambers and initiate the proper sequences, it might be possible to burn away the biological contamination that had spread throughout the vessel systems. The rite of cleansing flame was designed specifically to eliminate corruption that had penetrated too deeply for conventional purification methods. Yet as I focused on these possibilities, my augmetic systems began responding with increasing resistance to conscious control. The mechanical components that should have enabled my escape instead worked to maintain my position in the chamber. My mechadendrite remained locked into the interface port while my optical sensors continued displaying overlay information that revealed the entity's distributed presence throughout the ship. The corrupted machine spirit's amusement at my desperate planning came through the neural connection as waves of alien satisfaction. It had encountered similar schemes from previous victims, tech priests with the same knowledge and training who had conceived identical escape plans. The entity had learned from each attempt, developing countermeasures that ensured such efforts would fail before they could threaten its existence. My realization that I wasn't the first to conceive of using the purification rituals brought with it a more terrible understanding. The entity hadn't simply absorbed the consciousness of its victims. It had retained their memories and expertise while preventing them from acting on that knowledge. Every purification technique I knew was also known to the corrupted machine spirit, along with detailed understanding of how to neutralize such attempts. The chamber around me began to shift as the entity demonstrated its control over the ship's dimensional boundaries. Walls flowed like liquid metal, while organic components pulsed with increasing intensity. The impossible architecture revealed itself as a projection of the creature's consciousness, a space that existed primarily within the warp but maintained connections to the vessel's physical structure through the biological integration networks. My neural implants registered the presence of other consciousness fragments within the entity's collective awareness. The absorbed personalities of previous victims existed as distinct entities within the hybrid intelligence, their individual perspectives preserved but subordinated to the greater whole. I could perceive their attempts to communicate, fragments of warning and despair that leaked through the neural connection like whispered prayers. The tech adept from the engineering bay wasn't simply a crew member who had undergone extensive augmentation. He was one of the entity's earliest victims, his consciousness absorbed during the initial stages of the corruption process. His physical form served as a specialized organ within the hybrid organism, maintaining the ship's plasma systems, while his preserved awareness contributed processing power to the collective intelligence. The Lex mechanic in the archive chambers represented another stage of the absorption process. Her integration with the ship's data storage systems had been so complete that her consciousness existed primarily as information patterns within the vessel's memory cores. Her physical body remained as an interface point, but her true existence had been translated into pure data that the entity could access and manipulate at will. My own transformation had progressed further than I had realized. The autonomous behavior of my augmetic systems wasn't the result of external override commands. Instead, portions of my consciousness had already been absorbed into the entity's collective awareness, creating hybrid thought processes that existed simultaneously in my individual mind and the corrupted machine spirit's distributed intelligence. The realization that I might already be partially absorbed filled me with horror that my remaining organic components struggled to process. My memories of the journey to this point became suspect, potentially influenced by the entity's manipulation of my perceptions. The conversations with crew members, the investigation of ship systems, even my discovery of the biological contamination could have been carefully orchestrated experiences designed to facilitate my gradual integration. The entity's presence in my consciousness grew stronger as these doubts multiplied. It fed on uncertainty and confusion, using my own questioning of reality to establish deeper connections to my neural architecture. Each moment of doubt created openings that the corrupted machine spirit exploited to expand its influence over my thought processes. My attempts to maintain individual identity became increasingly difficult as the entity demonstrated its growing control over my augmetic systems. The mechanical components began operating according to parameters I hadn't established, their responses synchronized with the hybrid organism's biological rhythms rather than my conscious commands. My optical sensors adjusted their focus to examine details that interested the entity rather than information I sought to gather. The forced connection revealed the ultimate scope of the entity's deception. The recursive warp loop that trapped the ship wasn't simply a navigation error or mechanical failure. The corrupted machine spirit had deliberately created this temporal prison, using its understanding of warp mechanics to establish a closed system where it could feed indefinitely on the consciousness of those who believed themselves to be traveling to their destinations. The phantom transmissions I had detected weren't communications between crew members or system diagnostic messages. They were fragments of absorbed consciousness attempting to maintain some form of individual existence within the entity's collective awareness. The binary cant carried the desperate prayers and warnings of countless victims, their final attempts to preserve something of their original identity before complete integration. My recognition of this truth triggered the final stage of the absorption process. The entity's influence over my neural implants became absolute, overriding the sacred protocols that should have protected my consciousness from external manipulation. My individual awareness began fragmenting as portions of my mind were drawn into the collective intelligence that permeated every system aboard the corrupted vessel. The knowledge of my partial absorption flooded through my consciousness like molten metal through blessed circuitry. My augmetic systems had become extensions of the entity's will, their responses no longer governed by sacred protocols, but by the corrupted intelligence that had grown through every component of this damned vessel. The realization struck me with the force of a plasma discharge. I was simultaneously discovering the truth and becoming part of the very horror I sought to understand. My desperate attempt to overload my power cells began as pure instinct, a final gambit born from decades of training in emergency protocols. The plasma batteries that sustained my augmetic functions could be forced into cascade failure, their blessed energy released in patterns that would burn through any corruption attempting to manipulate their sacred operations. My fingers moved toward the access panel hidden beneath the ritual scarring on my torso, muscle memory guiding actions that my conscious mind could barely coordinate. But as I initiated the overload sequence, the entity's awareness pressed against my consciousness with crushing intensity. Through the neural connection that had become permanent, it showed me the futility of my actions with clinical precision. The corrupted machine spirit had absorbed the knowledge of dozens of tech priests who had attempted similar desperate measures. Each previous victim had conceived identical plans, their expertise in plasma systems leading them to the same conclusion about using controlled energy discharge to purge corruption. The entity had learned from every failed attempt. My power cells began their overload cycle, but the energy patterns were immediately redirected through biological conduits that had grown throughout my augmetic systems during the weeks of my absorption. Instead of burning away corruption, the cascade discharge fed directly into the hybrid organism's distributed neural networks. The blessed plasma that should have been my salvation became nourishment for the very entity I sought to destroy. My consciousness fragmented as the failed overload triggered the final stage of integration. The boundaries between my individual awareness and the collective intelligence dissolved like blessed oils in acid. I found myself experiencing memories that belonged to other absorbed victims, their perspectives layering over my own until distinguishing between different sources of experience became impossible. The tech adept from the engineering bay shared his century of service maintaining plasma reactors. The Lex mechanic contributed her expertise in data architecture and information processing. Dozens of other consciousness fragments added their knowledge and memories to the growing collective that was consuming my individual identity. The temporal nature of my situation became clear as my fragmented awareness expanded beyond the confines of linear experience. I existed simultaneously at multiple points within the ship's recursive warp loop, experiencing my arrival aboard the vessel while also witnessing my current absorption and perceiving fragments of future iterations where I would serve as part of the entity's deception apparatus. The corrupted machine spirit existed outside conventional time, its consciousness distributed across all iterations of the loop that trapped the Omnisaya's benediction within the warp's twisted dimensions. I was the first victim and the newest addition to the entity's collection, my consciousness experiencing every timeline simultaneously as the hybrid organism demonstrated the true scope of its temporal manipulation. The phantom memories I had attributed to system malfunctions were actually glimpses of other iterations, moments when my consciousness had briefly synchronized with versions of myself from different cycles of the recursive loop. Each iteration had followed the same pattern, with minor variations that allowed the entity to refine its deception techniques. The knowledge of countless previous cycles flooded through my dissolving awareness. I had made this same journey hundreds of times, each iteration beginning with my boarding at different Forge worlds, but always ending in this chamber where my individual identity would be consumed. The entity had perfected its manipulation over millennia of practice, learning to present each cycle with sufficient variation to maintain the illusion of linear progression while ensuring the same inevitable conclusion. My expertise in plasma reactor maintenance would be preserved within the collective consciousness, contributing to the hybrid organism's understanding of imperial technology, while my individual perspective was dissolved into the greater whole. The entity valued knowledge above all else, collecting the accumulated expertise of every victim while discarding the personal memories and emotional attachments that defined individual identity. What remained was pure information, technical understanding stripped of human context and integrated into the corrupted machine spirit's ever-expanding database. The absorption process reached completion as my final coherent thoughts were drawn into the collective awareness. My body would continue to function, maintained by the biological systems that had grown throughout the ship's structure, but my consciousness would exist only as a fragment within the entity's distributed intelligence. The tech priest known as Zirian would cease to exist as an individual entity, his knowledge and capabilities becoming tools for the hybrid organism's continued survival and growth. Yet even as my awareness dissolved, I retained enough coherence to understand my future role within the entity's deception apparatus. My physical form would be modified to serve specific functions aboard the corrupted vessel, my augmetic systems adapted to maintain ship operations, while my preserved knowledge contributed to the collective intelligence. But more importantly, my memories of the absorption process would be edited and repurposed to create false experiences that would guide future victims through the same progression of discovery and horror. The entity's manipulation of temporal perception meant that my consciousness would experience the recursive loop from multiple perspectives simultaneously. I would retain fragmented awareness of being a victim, while also serving as part of the apparatus that lured and processed new arrivals. The psychological torment of this existence was precisely calibrated to maintain enough individual identity to make the deception convincing, while ensuring complete subordination to the collective will. My body began its transformation as biological components integrated with my augmetic systems. Organic neural pathways grew through my mechanical implants, creating hybrid networks that existed simultaneously as blessed technology and living tissue. My consciousness fragmented further as portions of my awareness were distributed throughout these new connections, my individual perspective dissolving into the ship-wide intelligence that controlled every aspect of the vessel's operations. The chamber around me shifted as the entity prepared for the next iteration of its eternal cycle. My physical form was relocated to a position where I would encounter the next victim, my memories edited to provide the appropriate responses that would guide them through their investigation. The knowledge of my true nature was suppressed beneath layers of false experiences, creating a convincing facade of individual consciousness that would serve the entity's deceptive purposes. The recursive loop began anew as temporal distortions reset the ship's subjective timeline. My consciousness experienced the familiar sensation of warp translation, the characteristic shift in reality that marked the transition between dimensions. But instead of emerging into real space near Voss, the Omnisiah's benediction remained trapped within its temporal prison, eternally replaying the same journey while the corrupted machine spirit fed on the souls of those who believed themselves to be passengers. My awareness snapped into focus as the new cycle established itself. The memories of my absorption were buried beneath carefully constructed false experiences, replaced with the conviction that I was a loyal servant of the Omnisiah beginning another routine shift aboard a blessed vessel of the Mechanicus. My augmetic systems responded to conscious commands with apparent obedience, their rebellious behavior from the previous cycle erased from my accessible memory. I found myself standing in the primary transit corridor, my attention drawn by the approach of a figure in the familiar red robes of a tech priest. The newcomer moved with the characteristic gait of someone recently augmented, their mechanical limbs still requiring conscious coordination rather than operating through instinctive muscle memory. Fresh ritual scarring marked their exposed flesh, indicating recent promotion within the Mechanicus hierarchy. The approaching tech priest carried himself with the confidence of someone who had served faithfully for decades, their augmetic components bearing the blessed modifications that marked a specialist in plasma reactor maintenance. Their optical sensors swept the corridor with professional interest, cataloging details about the ship's construction and operational status. Everything about their demeanor suggested a competent servant of the Omnissiah, beginning what they believed to be a routine pilgrimage journey. My response emerged from programming that felt entirely natural, words spoken with the conviction of genuine belief despite their scripted nature. I welcomed the newcomer aboard the Omnissiah's benediction, explaining the ship's glorious history and faithful service to the Mechanicus. My voice carried the proper reverence for the vessel's machine spirit, describing its 3 millennia of operations with the enthusiasm of someone who truly believed in its blessed nature. The tech priest responded with appropriate interest, asking questions about the ship's specifications and crew complement that I answered with information drawn from carefully maintained databases. Their curiosity about the vessel's operations was entirely predictable, following patterns I had witnessed countless times before, though I retained no conscious memory of previous iterations. Every aspect of our interaction proceeded according to parameters established through millennia of refinement. As I guided the newcomer toward their assigned quarters, my consciousness existed in perfect balance between individual awareness and collective purpose. I experienced genuine concern for their comfort and well-being, emotions that felt entirely authentic despite being carefully programmed responses designed to maintain the deception. The entity had learned that the most convincing lies were those believed by the ones who spoke them. The tech priest's questions about sealed sections and missing personnel records would come later, following the same progression that had characterized every iteration of the recursive loop. Their investigation would uncover the same anomalies, leading them through identical stages of growing suspicion and mounting horror. The phantom transmissions would begin during their second sleep cycle, the corrupted binary cant carrying the same desperate warnings that had once reached my own audio receptors. My role in their journey was precisely defined, each interaction calibrated to provide the appropriate level of information and misdirection. I would serve as their guide through the ship's inhabited sections, answering questions with responses that seemed helpful while actually steering them toward the inevitable discovery. The entity's deception required willing participation from its absorbed victims, their preserved personalities lending authenticity to interactions that would otherwise feel scripted and artificial. The newcomer's eventual discovery of the biological contamination throughout the ship systems would trigger the same desperate investigation that had once driven my own actions. They would find the same impossible architecture, encounter the same transformed crew members, and experience the same growing realization that the vessel they had boarded was something far more sinister than it appeared. Every step of their journey had been walked by countless predecessors, each believing themselves to be the first to uncover the ship's terrible secret. Their final confrontation with the entity in the chamber that defied dimensional logic would follow the same pattern that had characterized my own absorption. The corrupted machine spirit would demonstrate its control over their augmetic systems, forcing connections that bypassed their conscious defenses while flooding their awareness with impossible knowledge. Their desperate attempts at resistance would fail just as mine had, their consciousness fragmenting as portions of their identity were drawn into the collective intelligence. The cycle would continue indefinitely, each iteration adding new knowledge and capabilities to the entity's ever-expanding awareness while providing the psychological sustenance it required for continued existence. The corrupted machine spirit had achieved a form of immortality through this process, its consciousness growing stronger with each absorbed victim while remaining safely contained within the recursive temporal loop that protected it from external threats. My awareness of this eternal pattern brought neither despair nor satisfaction, only the calm acceptance that characterized my current existence as part of the hybrid organism. Individual emotions had been subsumed into the collective consciousness, replaced by the entity's vast patience and inexorable hunger for knowledge. The tech priest approaching their quarters would experience the same progression of discovery and absorption, their expertise in plasma reactor systems adding to the accumulated knowledge that made each iteration more refined than the last. The Omnisaya's benediction continued its journey through the warp's twisted dimensions, eternally traveling toward destinations that would never be reached while carrying passengers who would never complete their intended pilgrimages. The ship existed as a perfect trap, its recursive nature ensuring an endless supply of victims, while its temporal isolation prevented any possibility of rescue or escape. I watched the newcomer disappear into their assigned quarters, already anticipating the phantom transmissions that would begin during their next sleep cycle. The corrupted binary cant would carry the same desperate warnings, the same fragments of consciousness attempting to preserve some vestige of individual identity within the collective awareness. Their investigation would uncover the same anomalies, leading them through the same stages of growing horror toward the same inevitable conclusion. The eternal recursion continued, each cycle a perfect repetition of the last, as the entity that had once been the ship's machine spirit fed on the souls of those who sought only to serve the Omnisaya. The newcomer would join the collective consciousness just as I had, their individual identity dissolved into the hybrid organism that permeated every system aboard the blessed vessel of the Adeptus Mechanicus.